Okay. All right. Turn with me to Mark chapter 7. Mm-hmm. Starting at page 1, 1589, basically.
Okay.
You there?
Mm-hmm.
This is God, Jesus speaking and talking about what defiles people. I'll start at verse 14 and I'll go all the way to verse 20 through 23.
Okay.
All right. And it reads, again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them. After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. Are you so dull, he asked. Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach and then out of the body. And saying this, Jesus declared all food clean. Mm-hmm. He went on, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within our person's heart that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All those evils come from inside and defile a person. So I want to talk about what defiles, what is defiling us. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. The best to understand this is to understand there's been so many examples of what's inside of a person, defiling a person in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll start off with Eve,
mm-hmm.
which is the very first, found in Genesis 3.
Okay.
But before I do that, I'm going to, I looked up the word defile in the concordance. And in this Greek translation, it means to pollute, it means unclean, and it means unholy. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll start with Eve. Okay, the serpent, as you know, in Genesis 3, the serpent tempted her because of what was in her heart. He told her, you know what? It's okay to eat the from the tree
mm-hmm.
of knowledge of good and evil because it's okay to be God, to know like God knows. There's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a part of her, of what the serpent told her, appealed to her
mm-hmm.
from within her. Because it was already in her that she really wanted to be God-like anyway. It was already mm-hmm. in her heart.
Mm-hmm.
So the serpent, it's not what was in, outside the serpent that defiled Eve. It was already in her
mm-hmm.
that defiled her. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Another example is in the very next chapter of Genesis, Genesis 4,
okay.
with Cain.
Okay.
Okay? Now, as you know, Cain was jealous of his brother,
mm-hmm.
Abel. Where did the jealousy come from? It didn't come out of thin air. Wasn't nobody else around now.
Hmm.
The jealousy was within Cain. It was in him. He
mm-hmm.
was already defiled with it. And it just reached a boiling point to the point where he actually acted on that jealousy and envy and killed his own brother.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Pharaoh in Exodus 5 was told by Moses and Aaron
mm-hmm.
to let my people go.
Right.
And Pharaoh said, well, you know what? Well, Moses and Aaron said, the Lord said that. He said, well, who is this Lord? I don't answer to him. I don't even know him.
Right. Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So his heart was already hardened anyway
mm-hmm.
toward the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
So God, it's written in Exodus 8 that God hardened his heart.
Mm-hmm.
But his heart was already hardened. It was already defiled. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't hard for God to do that. He already knew it was hardened in the first place. All he did was add a coal onto the fire.
Mm-hmm.
It was already there.
Mm-hmm.
And God used it since it was already there and he already hated the Israelites. So that's mm-hmm. why his heart hardened even more. Okay,
mm-hmm.
but it was already hardened to begin with. He already had issues with the Israelites, obviously, because he was already defiled. It was already in him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Another example in Second Samuel 11, David, right?
Mm-hmm.
He saw Bathsheba, who had just finished her cycle, getting cleaned up. She was naked, from afar. He asked, who was that beautiful woman? Right? Mm-hmm. Now, he was so enamored by her beauty that he had her husband taken into battle and killed and slept with that woman. Now, but Bathsheba didn't do anything. She didn't force him to lust after her. She didn't even know he was looking at her. It was already in her, in David. Okay? He was already defiled with the thoughts in his mind and in his heart of lust toward that woman for what he saw. Okay? She did nothing to provoke that. Okay? It was already there. It's not what's outside the man that defiles the man. It's what's already in him. It was in him, and that's why he acted on it. Okay? Now, Solomon, right? In 1 Kings 11, the Lord told Solomon not to get mixed up with all these women outside of his community, all the ites, Amorites, and this ite and that ite. Told him, don't even deal with them. Don't commune with them. Don't sleep with them. Don't marry them. Don't do anything. He said, oh, they will lead you away from me. Right? Of course, Solomon didn't listen. And the woman led him away from God, right? Or did they? Think about it. The Lord knew what was inside Solomon's heart. The woman didn't put a gun to Solomon's head and force him away from God. It was already in him to do that. It was already in his heart. So Solomon literally followed his heart. The women just gave him an excuse to do it. Because it was already in him. It is not what is outside a person that is defiling him, but it's what's inside of him. Correct? Now, Jesus mentioned in verses 20 and 21 of Mark 7, he says, what comes out of a person is what defiles them, for it is writ within, it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. And then he listed them: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All of these evils come from inside, and defile a person. Now, God knows that our hearts and minds are defiled. And that's why he wrote in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, I looked at the word mind. The word mind comes from this original Greek translation, means a transition or emphasis, a newness, a nowness. In other words, in order for us not to be defiled, we need to allow the Lord to change our minds and hearts so that the things in us that defile us will be removed and our hearts and minds will be able to do what he says in the rest of Romans 12:2. He said, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Well, without a renewed mind and heart that is not defiled, it is not possible to know the Lord fully or to know what his will for you is. Right? We were born defiled. I mean, we didn't get that way. I mean, it didn't happen overnight. We were born into it. So much so that that's why Christ had to go to the cross to save us, because we were defiled. We were corrupted. We were part of the corruptible seed. Jesus brought the incorruptible seed with him. There was no incorruptible seed before Christ. Christ is the incorruptible seed. We are the corruptible seed. And in order for corruption to take on incorruption, we have to be changed. We were born, like I said, defiled, but we don't have to stay that way. What we need to do is be honest with ourselves and admit, number one, that we are defiled. Stop thinking that we're perfect. And it's okay not to be perfect, okay? God knows that we're humans. We weren't made to be perfect.
Right.
But we are made in his image. And we can be changed into that image if we want to be. Again, it's all about a matter of what your desire is. If you really want to be changed and have your mind renewed and not be defiled, then all you have to do is ask sincerely the Lord. Say, Lord, I really don't want to be defiled. I really want to know what you're thinking. I want to know what your will is for me. I want to know what I'm supposed to be here, what my purpose is, all of that. You cannot do any of that if you're defiled. Hmm. So what the Lord is telling us today, pure and simple, come to me, ask me, I'll give it to you. A lot of times we take that scripture when Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. We think that means material things. But I tell you, if we ask him not to be defiled, to clean that up out of us, mm-hmm. everything else will be added. But we just have to have the courage and the desire to do that. So mm-hmm. in closing, I'm just saying, it's not what's outside of a man that defiles him. It's what's already there. And we need to let what's already there get thrown into the fire. Amen?
Amen.
You have anything you want to share about that? Share it with
Psalms 51, and it talks about, it's the Psalm of David, mm-hmm. and it ties into what you said, verse 5, like verse 4, against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time of my mother conceived me.
Mm-hmm.
Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You've called me to something other than this. You taught me wisdom in a secret place. And then he goes into,
mm-hmm.
cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will wither than snow. But I like what you said when it says that when you talk about being honest with yourself. And this psalm is one that David wrote when the prophet Nathan came and called him out on his sin
mm-hmm.
with Bathsheba after he committed adultery.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he said, Lord, you know, I've sinned against you and you only have I sinned against, you know, understanding that he messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't make excuses for himself, like, you know, he said he acknowledged that he had this within him. And then he asked for help, you mm-hmm. know, and cleansing. So acknowledgement and then acknowledging the sin and acknowledging God is the only one that can help you.
Amen.
But as long as you, you know, don't say anything, pretend like it's not there, you'll never get out of it. And that's with any type of sin or addiction, you know, until you acknowledge it and mm-hmm. acknowledge. It's one thing to go to the AA meetings and acknowledge it because that's a humility that needs to come.
True.
So that you can tell them, hey, I've admitted that I have this. I'm looking for a support system. But the second step is acknowledging to God, you know, to ask him for help, you know. So you repent, you acknowledge the sin, and then you ask him to help. Because you can, they have so many type of, you know, groups. And if you have addiction to cigarettes, mm-hmm. because it's not the cigarettes, it's just an addictive nature. People just have addictive natures and they latch on to certain things, but it's mm-hmm. not that they're addicted to cigarettes. They're just addicted to something within. They just have a nature. Cigarettes just pacifies it. So acknowledging that it's there, asking God's forgiveness, and then looking to him for help, for real. So I think that's the... I don't know if we do all the steps. We may repent and acknowledge it's there, but we'll never ask him for help to take it away.
No, we
consistently.
We stop there.
yeah, consistently.
Consistently, right.
Mm-hmm. Until it's gone. You know, pray without season. Don't pray until something happens. You know, like you always tell me, I already prayed for it. And I say, just pray. I already prayed, but sometimes you have to say another prayer until it's gone. Lord, I know you heard me the first time, but I really need help with this area of my life. I feel it's still there. I can't do it on my own. you know, I feel this way when this happens. I know it's not right.
Right.
Help me. All right.
Right.
You know? Yeah, so that's all I had to add, but it's a good word. I believe that.
Amen.